Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for a fantastic show today, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, you're ready for your money to start working harder for you. Those of you that want to work because you want to, not because you have to. You want that freedom, that prosperity, and that cash flow right now, not 30 or 40 years from now. And if you cross your fingers and get lucky, no, it's all about cash flow and prosperity today. So I'm welcoming you guys out again. So grateful for you guys that are not only consuming this, and even some of you are binging this. I can tell by the numbers. I can also tell too that you guys have been sharing this, and I appreciate you guys being a part of this movement, because as Ripplers, you're not just here to create financial freedom for yourself, but you're here to live a greater life, a life of meaning, a life of purpose, and a life that creates a ripple effect through others' lives too. And so thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your life as well. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, there's great blogs and stuff on there too. And if you guys have questions, you know how to reach me. Anyways, I want to bring a special guest on today. This is a person that actually was kind of referred to me because he's the one kind of known as the coach's coach. He was a guy that was at a mastermind group that I'm a part of with a lot of real estate investors. And I've done a little presentation on how hustle is a lie, right? And after I got done, a few guys said, you know what, Chris, you really got to meet this guy. You really need to meet him. In fact, the things he teaches are just like that. He teaches high-level entrepreneurs, coaches, speakers, people all over the country. These are people usually making at least seven figures in their businesses, but need like more clarity on their vision and that things of that nature. And so I reached out, and the one thing I love and I'm so impressed about Sean McCloskey here is that, you know, Sean is just an absolute giver. He's somebody who actually, just like me, really focused on trying to create value for other people. So he's actually based out of St. Louis, Missouri with his wife and three kids. He also loves to play guitar and sing in a band. And again, just an awesome high caliber speaker and real estate investor and author. So Sean, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love the title of, what did you say? The anti-financial planner.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Anti-financial advisor. That's right.
That's right. That's great.
Yeah. And then as we kind of already talked about before, and you know, we're kind of against the grain here on this show. People are not the status quo mediocre type people you get here. So I know these are your kind of people too.
Yeah, man. I love people like that. That's exactly me.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, like your background and what kind of led you down this path of where you are now.
Oh man. I started out as a corporate guy and built my way up the corporate ladder only to work 7 years for corporate and then get laid off. And so I realized that there was no freedom in corporate world after working 70 hours a week and then finally getting laid off from a downsizing. So I built my own business and back in 2003, started flipping houses in the real estate business and built that up, failed miserably at first, lost 86 grand on my first deal. But then after that started to make some deals work and pretty soon got, after about 4 years of doing that, made a name for myself doing a lot of high volume stuff and started getting asked to speak around the country about it. And turned into a little bit of a speaking and training business. And then I found out I had no life, man. I was working all the time. And, you know, whether I was speaking or doing deals or helping other people do their deals, and that turned into a coaching business. Just a lot of work. And I realized I didn't get rid of one job so I could have another job. Mm-hmm. And this time I didn't have a boss, but I had hundreds of bosses and coaching students and clients. And, you know, I let all these people dictate how I was going to run my life for a long time. And so I decided I don't want to do that anymore. And so I reinvented the whole business, all my personal life, everything. I started from scratch and I said, this time I'm going to build my business the way that I want to build it, not the way that my customers expect me to build it. And so I changed my boundaries and my hours and all of those things. And I built a business that served my life rather than the other way around. My life was serving my business before. So it took a lot of changes and if I'm being honest, a lot of guts because I was scared to death to do this.
Right.
But today, I now have a mastermind coaching business. I coach high-level entrepreneurs and national speakers and coaches, and I teach them how to do the same thing. So, you know, I love it, man. I'm a huge fan of business. I love business. I love the game of business, but I also don't think it should rule your life. And there's this message out there that's coming from so many gurus today that says, work your face off and, you know, give up everything and sacrifice it all so that you can have it. And unfortunately, you know, I'm a big believer that we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. So a lot of people say, well, sacrifice everything for, you know, 7 or 10 years, and then you'll be able to live the comfortable life the rest of your life. Well, what if you get hit by a bus at the end of that 7th year?
Right.
You know, it's all for naught. And so I'm a big fan of creative business that you love being in, but also so that you can have a life that you love and you enjoy as well, not at the sacrifice of life. So there's my long answer to your short question.
No, that's exactly a big thing that we talk about on the show from time to time is, you know, there's such a myth. There's this misconception believing that somehow we have to just work our tails off and then eventually someday we'll have that success. But, you know, even those people that do from the outside, I've noticed this and I know you do too, because you coach a lot of these people, but you know, when you start to get to know people and you think, wow, like you've got a successful business, you seem like you have a great life. Social media makes you look out to be freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And then you look inside a little bit more and you say, oh, you've got just as many problems, if not more problems than the average person does. And your life isn't that great. Like, I don't know if I want to trade lives with you right now.
That's what happened with my original mentor was the guy named Chris Kirshner. And I love the guy. I still love him to this day. Mm-hmm. But I envied this guy. He was doing more deals than anybody I knew. He was speaking around the country. Everybody loved him. And one day he called me up and he said, man, I made $950,000 today. And I was like, what? Holy cow. Congratulations. He's like, it's the worst day of my life. I said, why? And he goes, well, my wife just told me that she basically hasn't seen me in 7 months. My kid doesn't want anything to do with me. And she just said she's moved out. I didn't even know she moved out because I'm not in town. And she wants a divorce. And you know, the guy it was basically went into a depression for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So everything that he thought he was building for his family is the very thing he gave up to build the thing. And
right.
I don't think anybody has to do that. Unfortunately, we see that all the time. And now I coach these people. So some of the people that were my mentor years ago that I really look up to, that I still look up to this day, you know, when you start digging in and finding out what their lives really look like, you find out really what's behind the curtain. And, you know, I don't want a Facebook life that looks really, really good on Facebook, but then behind the scenes you hate it, you know? Uh-huh. And so that's what I help people do today.
What do you think people are really missing? Like, what is it that people get caught into a trap or whatever it might be? What are they really missing that even, and I know you come from a unique perspective because you're not only a business owner and a coach, but you're also a real estate investor. And we've got both groups of people on this show listening right now. And so what do you feel both these people are missing?
Well, I could give you the pie in the sky answer or the really good business answer. My honest answer, I think they're missing God in their life, but
yeah.
That's my own belief. Not everybody believes that, but I think, you know, a lot of the most successful people that I know are successful because they're healing a wound from earlier in life. You know, so many people, their father told them they weren't enough, or they grew up without a father or a mother, or they had some massive loss, or they're trying to prove themselves to the rest of the world, or, you know, it could be
right.
A thousand. I did the same thing. My father was an alcoholic growing up. We used to have talks until 4 o'clock in the morning about what a piece of crap I am. And so I realized in my own business and life, I'm sitting here trying to build all this to prove that I'm enough. And that's not the same case with everybody. I don't want to turn this into a sob story.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have an awful, awful childhood, but that part was pretty bad. And so, you know, I spent my life trying to prove that I'm enough, you know, buying more stuff and getting a bigger house and all of that stuff. And I've come to realize that there's more to life than that. And
yeah.
I think most people are trying to battle a wound that they had at some point. And that's not always the case. Some people are just driven just because they love the excitement of driving. But that's usually more rare, I see, than the wound.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you do see kind of different extremes. I know it's kind of hard to put somebody in a you know, kind of put them into one group because everybody has their own purposes or reasons and things that, that drives them, but also things that are, that can be the strength, but it can also be the weakness too. Right.
Yep. Yep. I know with Chris Kirshner, that was his thing. He said, man, I spent my whole life trying to prove that I was enough, and I didn't realize I was enough until I got God in my life. And so I don't mean to take a left turn into that category at all, but, you know, he made some massive realizations after he lost everything. And unfortunately, he realized it after he lost everything. And so I try to take these people and get a hold of them before they've lost what they said was important to them from the beginning. And that requires some work. And by the way, I should mention, I am not afraid of hard work. I still work my butt off when it's appropriate. But I don't now, I no longer have a business that requires me to work my butt off every single day. And that's what I had 10 years ago. You know, it's like, I don't know if you've ever been to the point where you're like, man, I just want to take a break. I need a break. And you can't take a break.
And I've been there. Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, I just want to take a breather just for today. I can't. I have 17 appointments lined up. I have clients asking for this and that. I have finances that I have to manage. And that works for a while. It's, matter of fact, it's a little easier to do the younger you are. You don't know any better yet. But as you start to get a little bit older and introduced to some different types of wisdom, you go, okay, does it have to be like this? And so today I run a business that, you know, I still work in my business. I love what I do. I get to coach people, really high-level entrepreneurs. But my business has boundaries put in place now that really only require me to work 4 days a month.
Right.
Now, I work more than 4 days a month because I love what I do, and I'm constantly reaching out to my members and my students, and I'm checking in on them and seeing how they're doing. But I only have to work 4 days a month to run everything. And that's such a vast difference than it was 10 years ago, where I had to work 70 hours a week to run everything. But that comes with some planning, and it comes with a specific agenda and vision to create it that way. And it didn't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time. But and I'm happy to share with you how we did some of that as well.
You know, I'm glad you brought that point up too, because I had some clients reach out to me, and I even did a podcast on this recently about vision, right? You know, where, you know, 4 years ago I had that, you know, just a massive life change to the divorce, and that's when I went from about 50 or 60 hours a week down to like 5 to 10 hours a week, and now I'm back up because I realized I need at least 10 hours a week to stay on fire a little bit, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, you got to keep doing what you love, or you just kind of burn. You actually fizzle out. You know, rather than burn out.
On the opposite direction where you don't. You can go the opposite direction where you don't work enough, and you're not challenging enough, and then you wake up and you're bored or depressed, or you start doing bad things to keep the time busy. That's not good either. So I'm not suggesting that. But
no.
Go ahead. Sorry. So you had to get to a divorce in order for you to realize this.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and really had a you know, and I know we talked about this before we went on the air here, you know, because you said that a lot of your clients do great at having like this personal life vision. But when it came to their business, you had a kind of a shocking discovery, didn't you?
Well, yeah. And this is the opposite of what I see in the real world. I spend a lot of time with my guys and gals on personal vision because of the idea behind this is if you want to build a business that serves your life, that's great, but you better know what you want your life to look like first. Otherwise you fall into the inevitable trap of, okay, I'm going to build my business until someday it's where it needs to be. And then I'll have a life. Right. And unfortunately I see it all too often where the habits become so work habits, so ingrained in work that one day you do arrive in your business and one of a couple things happens. I talked to a guy actually at CG, who you probably know if I would say his name. He said, I wanted to get to the point where I had $20 million worth of real estate, and I worked 20 years to get that. And he said, one day I woke up and I had the $20 million. Matter of fact, I had hit my number 6 months earlier and didn't even know it. And he said, I had worked so hard for this for 20 years, and I got there, and I woke up realizing I'd hit my goal. But that's been my main goal. It's been like my main strategy for the last 20 years. So when I hit it, I literally had no idea what to do with my life because nothing had changed that way. I just woke up and I'd hit the number. And he said, I literally went into a depression mode where he's like, I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't know what to do now because what am I going to do? Just say, okay, well, now I'll just make $30 million most days. But I'd hit my number, and that was my purpose in life before. So when I had hit my purpose, it was like the check mark was there, but nothing had changed. And so I'm sitting here for a year going, well, if that's not who I am, who the heck am I? The guy made 20 million bucks in, or I should say acquired $20 million worth of real estate. Most of it, by the way, is free and clear.
Wow.
And is depressed. And you go, how is that even possible? Well, you if you're not careful and you don't have your life figured out first, then you'll work to build a business that, by the way, that may not happen. He may not have hit that goal and continued striving for that and never have hit it, in which case he would have had a different set of problems. But he did hit it, and now he wakes up and he goes, who am I? So I'm a big fan of create the business that you want so that you can have the life that you want to have. And ideally, you would create a business that you love in the process, that you're really passionate about, so you're not just building this thing in spite of hating all the hours that you're putting in your work. But the thing that you asked me before was I polled all of my coaching and mastermind groups. I coach roughly 45 men and women around the country that are all high-level people. Give me an idea. One of the guys has a $20 million a year business. And I asked them, I said, rate yourself 0 to 10 on your personal vision. How well do you understand it? And how well are you living it now? And I've been working with most of these people for a couple of years at this point. So we talk about personal vision a lot, as corny as that sounds. And most of them, surprisingly, this is the opposite of the real world, by the way, most of them rated themselves between a 7 and a 10 in terms of they understand their personal vision and they are living it today.
Yeah.
And I asked a second question. And by the way, when I ask a normal room of entrepreneurs who have never gone through this process, most people rate themselves between 0 and 3. Okay.
Wow.
So on the business vision, though, I ask them the same question. Rate yourself on business vision, not whether or not you have a business plan or goals or things like that. How well do you fully understand your business vision? Is it in writing? And or how much are you living at 0 to 10? And I couldn't believe this. Most of them, these are high-level people making lots of money. Most of them scored themselves between 1 and 3.
Wow. That's a big difference.
Realized, holy cow. And matter of fact, a lot of them were saying, well, what's the difference between a business plan and a business vision? And there's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, the vision determines, the plan says, how are we going to get there, right? But the vision is, how well are you going to love what you do every single day? What's your overall picture on how you're going to impact other people's lives? And then the business plan is, how are we going to make that happen? But it really, in the business world, it helps so much to have a business vision first. Because that's where you create the business that you wake up every day. You don't care whether it's Monday or Saturday. You're fired up. You're ready to go to work every single day. And you're over the top excited about it. That's what I have today. And I will tell you, I didn't have that just 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was making money in my business. It was doing well. But, you know, there were so many days I would wake up and go, oh, my gosh, what do I have to do today? And today it's like, oh, my gosh, what do I get to do today? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference with business vision and plan. And so the vision starts with you saying, if I could do anything in the world, if I could have my role be anything in the world, forget whether or not it's profitable yet, we got to add those filters to it later. But what would my day look like? And to give an example, I coach a woman, brilliant woman out of California. She's done so many deals, it's ridiculous. She owns a real estate investing club out in San Jose, California. And I asked her this question and she goes, what I have to do is I have to run the RIA and I have to do that. And she started telling me a bunch of have to's.
Right.
And I said, Lori, I don't want to hear what your have to's. Like, if you could do anything, what would you do? She's like, well, I have to manage contractors I have these big projects that I work on, these development projects, and I build apartment complexes. I said, okay, I don't want to hear what you have to do right now. Describe to me the day, the perfect day of what would it look like if you got to do whatever you want to do every day?
Right.
She goes, you know what I would do? She goes, I love working on relationships. I love structuring deals. I don't like doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, that's interesting. You've been doing them for like 20 years, right? And she goes, I know, but I hate managing contractors. I like structure. I like evaluating projects. I like deciding whether or not it's going to be profitable or not. But she goes, really, I just want to get paid to go to lunch. And I go, that's really good. So I wrote that down. I said, you want to get paid to go to lunch? I said, what do you mean? What does that look like? And she goes, well, I would love to put people together that have deals with people who need deals. She says, I'm really good at networking. I would love to put together people who have money with people who need money. I would love to be the person who evaluates the deals to make sure it's safe for both sides of the party. Of course, as safe as you can ever make an investment. But she said, I would love to be that person that's just sort of the middle person in between it all. But I don't actually want to go talk to contractors every day. I don't want to manage that process. I don't want to babysit. And I said, okay, well, that's what we have to start with. So if you could do any business that you wanted, you would be sort of the middle person, that the glue that holds everything together, rather than the manager who has to manage all the process. And she got excited. She goes, yes, I would love to do that. And so we have been working together over the past year to build that business for her. Yes. And that's drastically different than what she thought was possible a year ago. But now every time we talk, I say, tell me how you got paid to go to lunch this week. Mm-hmm. You know, tell me what you did this week that didn't involve getting paid to go to lunch or connecting people together or raising money for a deal that you're not necessarily handling all the contractor work for. And it's just an in-your-face reminder constantly. Are you building the thing that you're totally passionate about, that you love doing every single day, or are you doing it because you feel like you have to? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, that was kind of the question I had to ask myself again, 4 years ago. Even though I've always asked that question, it got to a point where I was willing to actually deconstruct everything if I had to, because there's times kind of like her, it's like, well, but people want me to do this. So they want me to do that. Well, what do I want to do? And I finally got to that point, and that's what really changed, is I just said, what does my perfect day look like? How many hours would I actually be working? And I started to rebuild and structure my days around that. And it's incredible. It really makes a big difference. And, I get those 6-7 hour days and I'm thinking, oh man, this was a tough day today, And I know most of the world would say, you are a baby, Chris. I try to put a lot of energy into those hours that I do, I try to make it count as much as possible. So for me to preserve my energy and actually enjoy and have energy left at the end of the day, I definitely want to make sure I structure the way I want. And it's made all the difference. And I know still I have a whole nother level to go with that too. And I know that vision is still not complete.
Well, and just doing what you want to do isn't enough, unfortunately. It's obviously you have to be good at what you do. So she could say, well, I just want to get paid to go to lunch, but she sucks at raising money and she sucks at evaluating a deal, right? And so there's more to it than that. I want to give you guys a little tool that you can look up online later. There's training for free all over on YouTube about it. But look up, a buddy of mine, Trevor, introduced me to this word called Ikigai. Have you ever heard of this before?
Oh, yeah, Ikigai, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So it's Ikigai. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a Japanese concept, and it means a reason for being. And so I look at Ikigai when it comes to building a business vision, and there's four categories. There's what you love, there's what the world needs, there's what you can be paid for, and then there's what you're actually good at. And the idea is to have all four of these things intersect together and for you to be in Ikigai, which is like the center of this. And so if you can find something that you love to do, something that the world absolutely needs, something that you can actually get paid for, and something that you're good at, then you're going to love what you do. But if you're missing any one of those components, then you're going to have some challenges. So for example, if you're doing what you love and you're really good at it and the world needs it, but you can't be paid for it, then you might have some happiness and you might even feel a little bit of fullness, but you're not going to have any money. Mm-hmm. Right. And so if you're missing any one of these, so when I go through this with my members and my students, it's like, you might love something. It might be something the world needs. It might be something that you could be paid for it if you were good at it, but you suck at it. Think of American Idol, right? Yep. The tryouts for that. You look at people and they're like, no, I love singing. I just want to be a singer. I love it. And the world needs a singer. They need entertainment and singers get paid great. Yeah, but you suck at it. You're not the person that's going to get paid to be the singer. If you ever watch the first episode of each season of American Idol, it's like, it's pretty clear who's not going to make it in that business, right? And so you got to have all four of these things. And if you can have all four of these things, each four of these things, though, is a category in and of itself. So when I say, what are you good at? There's a whole process just for figuring out what the heck you're good at. And here's the thing too, you might think you're really good at something and other people think differently. It's like,
right.
Going back to American Idol, some people think they're God's gift to singing and they're horrible. And sometimes you may be really, really good at something and you may not give yourself credit for being that good at this thing because you are your worst enemy, right? Mm-hmm. And other people look at you and they go, like other people look at Lori and they go, what are you talking? Man, you are the best at putting deals together. You're the best at evaluating deals. You are so good at this stuff. And she looks at it and she goes, well, I just do it naturally. Like, that's just right. What I do. That's probably an indicator that's what you should be doing. If it comes easy to you, when other people tell you you're really, really good at this one thing, but you don't feel like you're working when you're doing it, most of the time people don't focus on a business doing that because that seems too easy, right? It's like my father being in the military for 20 years, my father, his definition of work is it better be hard or it's not really work. Well, you know, coaching for me is not work. It's really easy for me, but I had people all over the place say, man, you're really good at this. You know how to extract from me what needs to be extracted so I can live all of these things that I say I want to live. You know how to pull that out of me. And I would look at that and go, well, that's not work. We're just talking. How dare me get paid for that? But that's not how it has to be. I mean, if you're good at something, it probably comes easier. If you're good at something, it probably comes so easy to you and so naturally to you that time stands still. You don't even pay attention to time while you're doing it. So how awesome would it be to have a business where you don't even feel like you're working when you're in it, and it doesn't require you to work 90 hours a week to do it because you're so good at it, you can do it much faster than everybody else.
Exactly. It's that zone of genius, man. You gotta be in it.
Yep.
And that's where there's great fulfillment too, right? Yeah, you know, it's something that I say often is, you know, do what you love and the money will follow is a crappy statement because there's a lot of broke, passionate people out there. But if you really, you know, do what you love that others love you doing, well, then the money can follow. Doesn't mean it will, because again, there's certain skill sets you need to have in place, you know, business mindset and things like that, that make it successful. But you're definitely on the right track, you know?
Totally agree.
So, well, this has been so, so valuable today. I really appreciate it, Sean. If people want to reach out to you or get to know your stuff better, what would they do?
Man, I guess just start by following me on Facebook. I try to put out content often. You can just look up my name, Sean McCloskey. It's S-H-A-U-N McCloskey. And follow me on Facebook. I'm not out there selling stuff today. I have basically three coaching groups of high-level people, and for the most part, it's usually full. Every once in a while, I get an opening. But so I don't do a lot of promotions or a lot of marketing today. I've got a very simple business and a very simple life today. But if we start to follow each other on Facebook, I throw content out there. Hopefully it'll provide some value to you and maybe we'll get to know each other. I tend to work mostly with national speakers, people who run coaching programs themselves, people who are in leadership positions themselves. So if, you know, that's one of the things I do help a lot more people than my leadership boardroom group. So
awesome. If
there's any speakers out there that need help, reach out to me, man. I've got some tools and resources I can give you that'll help you in your speaking, specifically if you're doing any kind of selling whatsoever from speaking. But I'm happy to help however I can, man.
If you're in business, you pretty much almost have to have that kind of skill set.
You know, right.
Even whether you're presenting one-on-one or to many, or one-to-many, it's going to be a huge skill set to have to be able to speak and present and sell and influence.
Yep. And you can do it real subtly without coming across as the guy who's selling all the time. That's one of my pet peeves. It's when I feel like I'm being sold to. I mean, think about this. Every time you walk into a department store and someone walks up to you and the first thing they say is, hey, can I help you? It's like, no, get away from me. Everybody, don't talk to me. Don't look at me. You know, I don't think it has to be like that, though. I think, you know, there was a study that was done where they changed the wording instead of, hi, can I help you? They changed the wording and they would go up to people and say, hey, welcome to the store. Has anybody ever shown you where our sale items are before?
Yeah.
Go,
it's more a value approach.
Yeah. It's like, no. Okay. Do you want to see where it is or do you want me to leave you alone? It's like the sales went through the roof because people didn't feel like they were being sold to. So I think, anyway, I'm getting off topic here, but you, I love this stuff. And so anyway, if we become friends on Facebook, I can show you some of what I do there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your value and your time today. It's been, lots of good nuggets here that if anybody even implemented a little bit of this, it could drastically change their life and their business too. So again, thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me share, man. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. And the rest of you, thanks for joining us today. I hope, again, you take this information, you implement it, and not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer as well. So, you guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous week as well as a life.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.